Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. An update of what's taking place with the Navy Yard shooting massacre that took place yesterday in Washington. This tragedy that took place. First, I want to be able to tell you that, you know, CBN News is reporting that this particular man, this young man, is addicted. He was addicted to digital games, addicted to digital games. Listen up to the CBN News right here reporting, and we want to talk about this. Listen up, CBN News.
Investigators are piecing together clues about the motive behind Monday's massacre at the Navy Yard in Washington. 13 people are dead after Monday's shooting rampage, including the shooter. 8 people are injured. Today, authorities search for clues about the suspect and why he did it. A deadly shooting in the heart of the nation's capital.
We have an active shooter on the fourth floor.
The FBI says 34-year-old Aaron Alexis was behind the attack. He's identified as a civilian contractor and military veteran, and he had a valid pass and security clearance to enter the Navy Yard. But Alexis's motive is a mystery. Today, authorities are seeking the public's help.
We are looking to learn everything we can about his recent movements, his contacts, and his associates.
The father of the suspect once described his son as having anger management problems. And it turns out Alexis had a history of disturbing behavior. In 2010, he was accused of recklessly discharging a firearm into a neighbor's apartment. And in 2004, he confessed to shooting out the tires of another man's car. But Alexis was not a loner. And friends were shocked to hear he would go on a shooting rampage.
I actually believe that he did that anyway. So he's not that kind of guy to kill people.
Former roommates who lived with Alexis earlier this year in Texas say he was a practicing Buddhist, but they also say he was upset with the military since being discharged in 2011.
He just was upset with the government about all that and just very, he just felt slighted by his benefits and by what he was getting each month.
Meanwhile, the deadly shooting has reignited talk about gun control. On Capitol Hill, Senator Dianne Feinstein said, quote, "Congress must stop shirking its responsibility and resume a thoughtful debate on gun violence in this country." It's still unclear how Alexis was able to get an assault-style rifle inside the Navy Yard. Security requires guests to pass through turnstiles watched by security guards before entering. Investigators say they are confident Alexis was the only shooter.
And joining us now with more is Jessie Jane Duff, a retired gunnery sergeant in the U.S. Marine Corps. She is with Concerned Veterans for America. So the suspect had been discharged from the Navy reportedly over a shooting incident, but he was still given a security clearance as a contractor. Did somebody drop the ball here?
Well, I'd like to see what the investigation shows, because everybody goes through the same security process, and I think a lot of people don't understand that. Even if you're a contractor, the paperwork is exactly the same for all people getting the clearance. And maybe they looked into the incident and didn't feel that he was a threat in some manner security-wise, and his access may have been limited just to the base and a unsecured area. He went and stole an ID card that allowed him to get into that other building.
Amazing. You're listening to CBN News, the motives of this particular shooter, Aaron Alexis. I want to tell you that, you know, Washington, I believe it was the Telegraph. The Telegraph was reporting that Aaron Alexis, this Washington Navy Yard gunman, was obsessed with violent video games. Violent video games. Listen, it does matter. We're going to talk about that. How's God designed the human body? How's he designed our mind? Join us in the extra hours. We're going to be talk about how our imagination works. Listen, it's real, and it's important how we get it to be in compliance with how God's created us to be able to be. Aaron Alexis, the shooter, the murderer, was addicted to violent video games. Listen, America, if we continue to feed this into the minds of our people, this is what we're going to continue to see. We were just talking about this horrific tragedy that took place at the Washington Navy Yard, where this man, this young man, Aaron Alexis, murdered 13 13 men and women who just went to work that day, just went to work to help with our defense. And he shows up. And let me tell you something. What I was talking about is so important to understand is that he was addicted, according to the Washington, according to the Telegraph, according to the Telegraph, it reports that Aaron Alexis, this is the headlines, Washington Navy Yard gunman obsessed with violent video games. Think about that. You think about, you know, some of the things that, you know, that we buy into. It just, this is, and what it is, you, people really know what you're doing. They know that it's creating violence. You know, it's doing what you say it's not doing.
Mm-hmm.
But those who actually want to do better, those who don't want this to happen again, we got to face the facts. You cannot feed your child crack all day long and think they're not going to be a crackhead.
Hello.
You cannot feed your child potato chips all day long and think that they're going to have Pat's figure. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. It's like, you know, come on. And you cannot feed yourself or your child or you, sir, violent games where you're shooting people every single day for a couple hours a day. You're virtually walking through the process of taking life and its human targets looking like human beings where there's blood splatter and all these different things taking place in what you call a game. That is not a game. Shooting the image and the likeness of God is a demonic thing. And in law enforcement, in the military, when the First World War, it's reported that when the soldiers went out for the first, mind you, the First World War, think about that, the first one, that when men went out to fight, many of them, I think it was like 60-70% could not pull the trigger. There's a large percentage of them that could not pull the trigger because it was a human being. Everybody was used to not shooting people. It wasn't in men to naturally kill another human being. And so they developed some technology. The technology they developed, the military developed, was to be able to have some sort of imagery that kind of walked the soldier through the process of shooting something that looked like a human being. So he would get used to what it's like to take human life. And so they found out by World War II, because they took the soldiers through all this training, is that it was like 100% out. The men had no problem shooting people now. I mean, think about it. We went from World War I, a few years later, to World War II. World War I, we had something inside of us that said, you don't want to or hurt. I don't care if they're from another nation, somebody that's coming against you. It's just a man and it's just a woman. You don't want to hurt another man or another woman. It was inside of us. And it wasn't just till recently with this creative technology in World War II where they said, you know, hey, they can do it now. And now that was actually they did for soldiers. Now we're doing that for 8-year-old kids every single day.
Wow.
Every single day. And back then, I mean, you can imagine what the imagery was like, a silhouette, you know, instead of a round target with getting smaller and smaller in the circles, some shooting target, they had a silhouette. They have little images or, you know, pop up that looks, you know, paper targets that look like people. And now you have something that's like, it's so real. It's like, is that real or not real? And you shoot it and you go through the whole emotions and the connectivity. Your body says, no matter what you tell yourself, man, how often do you lie to yourself? I mean, really, come on. Man, you should be offended at how much you've lied to yourself. I mean, you should go out and, you know, have it out. I mean, if somebody's lied to you that much, if you've lied to yourself that much, you just got to go out and just, like, I don't know, go have it out. Because that's just, I'm not going to say what it is. But when you think about it, this is what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10. This is what's going on here. Listen, you're created in the image and likeness of God, whether you serve him or not. You have the ability to create. You have the ability to imagine and to see. Listen, even at the Tower of Babel, when they got together with a clear vision, and they begin to say, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to build, and they could begin to see this thing inside of them, and they all got in agreement, and they begin to move to build this particular tower they thought they were going to build to heaven. God, the creator of the universe, sent somebody down there to check it out. When they did, they say, listen, they're going to accomplish this because they set it in their minds to be able to do this. That's how creative we are. We're able to build good, bad. We're able to do dark things or light things. We're creating the image and the likeness of God. We're not gods, but we're creating the image and the likeness of God. And so in the context of that, God went down and changed. The reason why they call it Babel, because God went and confused men's languages so that we could no longer communicate, so that we couldn't get together to build such monstrosities, you know, and it divided everybody. So that's the power of how we're created, which means if they could have succeeded with their technology back then to do that, and you're taking your imagination and your heart and your eyes and your brain, and you're feeding it every single day, blowing the brains out of a man and a woman, and killing folk, robbing, you know, Grand Theft Auto, robbing places, raping people virtually in these virtual lands, you're really doing it. Jesus said, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. And as a matter of fact, if you're doing things virtually, this is the big thing about it is they don't shoot you back. You don't suffer the consequences. You don't get a sexual transmitted disease. It's something that you're not involved in it. But when you get involved with a human being, you find out, hey, it's not all about me.
That's right.
I've got to love other people. You'll find out. That's why people are actually running off with their computers instead of going and spending time with men. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 10. We're talking about the shooter in Washington, that according to the Washington Tribune or Telegraph, that he was addicted. He was addicted to these violent video games. This is what he says. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says in 9, he says, I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful. But in person, he is unimpressive and is speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we're absent, we will be in our actions when we're present. Oof. He says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves to some who commend themselves. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. No, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to the demolishing of strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's a thought that you can't get rid of. It's the way, it's a sentence that somebody spoke over you, spoke over yourself, that you've been serving for the last 15 years. And then he goes on and says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought, every imagination, and we make it obedient to Christ. What does that mean? This is our war. This is how we fight. We don't fight in a natural war sense. We have power through God, but you just can't let your mind just go there. You cannot sit there and commit adultery in your mind and your heart and think that you're not going to answer before God for committing adultery. Jesus said, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. You cannot go there and murder someone every day in your heart and your mind and don't think you're not going to stand before the throne of God and say, you murdered. You cannot sit there and hate virtually and hate all this stuff in your mind and think you're not going to stand before God and say, you cannot even love me. You're a liar, because if you couldn't love them, you didn't even know me. We cannot keep on giving these video games and promoting it. Listen, we've outlawed marijuana in some states. We've outlawed cocaine mostly, I think, in all states now. We've outlawed driving certain speed limits. We've said it's illegal to drive with a certain amount of alcohol content in our body. How about let's make murdering people illegal? How about that? Let's just make, you know, virtually killing folk. Let's just make it illegal. Why not? Because it's stupid to think that you can kill people for the next 5 years in your heart and your mind, and then when the enemy takes you over, that you're not going to end up at the Washington Navy Yard with a gun because you're pissed off because they didn't give you the benefits you think you deserve, and you're going to take out innocent lives. Listen, America, we have to wake up. We have to wake up. Listen, for the law enforcement's sake, you know, alone, they can't fight this war that you're creating in your households by feeding your children and yourself this murder every day. They don't have enough gunpowder to be able to fight against this. We got to begin to have values again. We got to begin to cry out to God again. Listen, we need God.
That's right.
We need God. And this is a sign. Listen, this is a sign to us that what we have done, this is what we've produced. And we can fall to our knees or we can fight. And if you fight, this country's going to fall to its knees when they never see it again. But if we fall to our knees and cry out and say, God, we produced this. This is our fruit. We turned our backs on you. We've lied to ourselves and said, just because we're committing it in our hearts, just because we're committing it in our heads, doesn't mean we're actually committing it. When Jesus said, if you had done it in your heart, when you shot that person in your heart in that game, when you robbed that person, when you raped, from my understanding, they rape people virtually with these games and all the other imagery that's out there. Listen, that's sin. God considers it already done, which means this. By the time that Aaron Alexis made it out there, he was already full of murder. He was full of murders. He was full of that. And it manifested with 13 more. But if you counted everybody he probably did kill, it could be multiplied to hundreds of thousands if he played it every day and he was addicted to it. That was just 13 more. Understand what God's word plainly tells us. This is what Paul is saying when he speaks right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not guns, bullets, swords, cannons, ships, nuclear things, are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, which means instead of that, we have divine power. The kingdom of God is about power to demolish strongholds. Listen, if you're believing a lie, God can break that lie over your life. If you think you're never going to amount to nothing, God can tell you who you are in him if you make a choice for him. Listen, whatever you believe, ever how a man believes he is in his heart, so is he. If you believe you're a murderer, you're a murderer. But if you believe that Jesus Christ will save you and forgive you, you can turn your heart back. Listen, you might be listening right now. You might have murdered thousands of people in the last 6 months virtually. There was a day when people would go out when God began to move on their hearts and they would burn their witchcraft books and they would burn their idols and their idolatry. I challenge you to carry that digital junk under your, if you're a kid, under your parents' instructions, and burn it. Beat it up. Take a sledgehammer and just beat the stew out of it. Kick your computer across the room. If you cannot control it, get it out of your life and turn to God and begin to allow God to begin to heal you and forgive you and restore you. Listen, Aaron, Alex, and the others that are walking out what they've already been doing in their hearts. It's just the beginning. If we, the church, don't wake up and realize God told us in his word that we have to cast down our imaginations. We cannot sin with our minds. We cannot sin with our heart, because it's going to manifest in Navy shipyards around America.